Please remain standing for the reading of our gospel. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. It had been like any other day in the house. The master had been gone for years now, and most assumed he was dead. An older maid in the house, she had gained the trust of her master's wife and spent most of her time fighting off the many suitors pining to replace him. But today, rumor was, some crazy old beggar was claiming the master was alive. This would surely distress his wife. Why won't people just leave her alone? This has already been so difficult on her all those sleepless nights. She misses him so much. Walking over to the guest house, the old maid took up the wooden basin for foot washing, and she began pouring in fresh water. After filling the basin with cold water, she carefully added the hot. By now, she was an expert, and she knew just the right mixture of hot and cold to make her guest comfortable. Why, of all people, was she being called to wash this crazy old man's feet? She had so many other things to do today. As she headed back towards the beggar, she couldn't help but think, "Maybe I should have used the boiling water. That had run him off." But as she approached him, something struck her. There was something familiar about this man, something about his choice of words and the tone that rang out from them, something about his stature, the way he leaned slightly to one side in the chair, the way he tucked his toe just under the ridge of his right foot, and the way his chest moved in and out as he sat slouching, looking off into the distance. As she lowered to her knees and reached out for the towel, she noticed the silhouette of his jawline as his face followed the movement in the room. Yes, she thought, there is something familiar about this man. Laying the towel across her lap, she reached out, picked up his foot, and began carefully bathing his feet. "You're a spitting image of my mistress's husband," she said, "this man that you claim is alive." Working around his toes and down towards his heel, she sat mesmerized by memories of her master. She could remember them like they were yesterday. She had thought of his return many times. Focusing back to the task at hand, she finished washing his foot and began to maneuver further up his leg. Dipping the sponge back into the water, she resumed washing until, wait, can it be? Is that? Running her fingers above his knees, she felt the ridge and instantly knew, my master. She could identify that scar from miles away. He had gotten it in his youth while fighting with a wild boar. She still remembers changing his bandages. It was just about yay big and just above his knee. Letting his foot slip from under her, it came crashing into the basin, tipping it on its side and spilling water all over the floor. Joy, fear, confusion. A mix of emotions overcame her as she realized her master was indeed still alive. Yes, yes, you are Odysseus, oh dear boy. I couldn't know you before, not till I touched the body of my king. With the simple touch of a scar, a man thought lost was recognized. Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. These famous words of Thomas have given him his legendary name, Doubting Thomas. Don't be a doubting Thomas, we say to those who question God's providence in the world. Don't be a doubting Thomas, we say to those who think twice about resurrection. Don't be a doubting Thomas, we say to ourselves when we face a challenging text in the scripture. And don't be a doubting Thomas, we say to ourselves when we feel of little faith. But I wonder, are we giving Thomas a bad rap? Does Thomas deserve the title unbeliever? Is he really a doubter, or was he just seeking a more intimate, a more trustworthy way of recognizing Jesus? A man he once thought lost. John's gospel tells us that Jesus finds Mary in the garden weeping. Woman, why are you weeping? He asks. Assuming him to be the gardener, Mary replies, they have taken away my Lord. Turning around, she sees him standing there, and again he asks, woman, why are you weeping? Suspicious of his repetition, Mary begs of him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. Finally, Jesus catches her gaze, looks her in the eyes, and calls her name, Mary. Yearning to spread the news, Mary runs to the disciples. I have seen the Lord. With the sound of his voice, someone thought lost was recognized. Later that evening, the gospel tells us that the disciples were gathered together in the home, afraid. Peter and the beloved disciple had already seen the empty tomb where the burial clothes laid bare. Mary had come proclaiming she had spoken with the Lord. And now here they were behind closed doors when Jesus appears. Peace be with you, he says. And after this, he showed them his hands and his side, and together the disciples rejoiced. With Jesus' appearance, his presence, his physical existence, someone thought lost was recognized. Eager to share the news, the disciples tell Thomas, who wasn't with them in the house when Jesus appeared, we have seen the Lord, they exclaimed. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, when the disciples were gathered together again in the house, Jesus appeared among them and said, peace be with you. And looking at Thomas, he said, put your finger here and see my hands. Do not doubt, but believe. And with this, Thomas proclaimed the most profound statement of faith found in our New Testament. My Lord and my God. With the recognition of a scar, someone thought lost was recognized. Mary recognized Jesus' voice, the disciples, his appearance, but Thomas recognized his wounds. In Homer's The Odyssey, the old maid, Euryclea, is honored as a faithful and loyal servant. She's the first to recognize Odysseus when he returns home, and it is their connection with one another that is central to the scene. She's been through the highs and the lows, the ups and downs, the good, the bad. But most importantly, she knew his wounds. She remembered every scar. Euryclea is not criticized for not recognizing him sooner. She isn't rejected for waiting until she'd seen his scars. Instead, the Odyssey celebrates her recognition and emphasizes the depth of her connection. The wounds are what bound her and Odysseus together. Many years ago, a mother I know sat near her son's hospital bed watching him rest. He'd been in an induced coma for several days. She once told me about a visit from a dear friend who came to keep her company as she sat with her son. But what she remembers most is the moment he reached down and began massaging her son's legs. You see, it was the mid-90s, and her son was suffering from HIV/AIDS. Stigma around the disease ran rampant. Human touch became unfamiliar to victims. As fear festered in society, closets grew deeper, wounds went unhealed, scars went unnoticed. But this friend she recounts, he wasn't afraid of her pain. Years later, after her son died, the mother went on to serve in an AIDS hospice home. Having spent so many years alongside her suffering son, she knew the wounds all too well, and she knew they needed recognizing. She spent several years sitting with AIDS victims in their last days, talking and doing her best to make sure they weren't alone, making sure they hadn't been forgotten. She bathed them, she put lotion on their dry skin, and she did the best she could to help them find comfort. But most importantly, she recognized their wounds. In fact, it was her recognition that nourished their relationship. As she bandaged their wounds, relationship grew, and it was their shared wounds that bound them together. The beauty of this Easter season and of the Gospel of John is that Jesus allows us to recognize him in various ways. For Mary, she heard Jesus' voice. The disciples, they recognized his appearance. And Thomas, well, Thomas was given the honor of recognizing his wounds. Post-resurrection, we too are invited to encounter the risen Lord. Like Mary, we can hear him. We hear him through the reading and proclamation of Scripture. We hear him when we pass the peace with one another. And we hear him in the voices of children when they join Brent on these steps each Sunday. Like the disciples, we can see him. We see him in the sacraments, symbols, and signs of the church. We see him at this table, and we join him in the waters of our baptism. We've even seen him in each other as we come and go from these walls. But like Thomas, we are also given the gift of recognizing him in ways that only those who know him best will recognize, by his wounds. Jesus spent his life showing us how to recognize wounds. He laid his hands on lepers. He fed the hungry. He dined with the hated, and he listened to the lowly. So as it turns out, it seems that Thomas wasn't a doubter at all. In fact, it seems Thomas's faith models best for us what it looks like to meet Jesus in the world. We must be willing to recognize his wounds. You see, if we want to know Jesus, we can't be afraid to touch the wounded. If we want to find the risen Lord, we have to go out into the world looking for scars. We have to recognize wounds. Amen.